Hey, back on the record, August 7th, 2023, 3 o'clock p.m. on the Clemenson appeal. Still Mr. Clemenson questioning Mr. Edwards. And Mr. Clemenson, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I am going to share my screen once again. You guys see that? Yes, it appears you can. Okay. For this session this afternoon, we're going to accelerate the pace. We want to get through this as quickly as we possibly can. So, Your Honor, per your suggestions, I'm going to limit the number of exhibits that we show here to try to get this, especially through this checklist, as quickly as we possibly can. Mr. Edwards, the only animal I want to touch upon, we're not going to go through a laundry list of animals here. Are you aware now that there is eagle activity on your on or near your parcel? And it appears you're muted.
Oh, Mr. Edwards, you're muted. Sorry, you need to unmute yourself.
There we go.
There you
Sorry.
go.
Yes, I've
Yeah,
seen
now it's your
eagles,
turn.
especially in the most recent couple of years.
Okay. Were you made aware at any point that there may have been a an eagle nest along on your property prior to the clearing?
No, that's actually something that when Steve Heacock visited the property initially before we cleared, he specifically looked for up in the trees and looked for possible nests, and he confirmed there were none that he saw during that site visit.
Okay. And he looked the entire boundary, if you
I
recall.
mean, we walked around the entire property and he was consistently looking around up in the trees looking for any possible sight of it.
Okay. Moving on to item B5C. So just center of the screen as you see shared right now. Have you become aware at any point that there are migrating geese that use the wetlands ponds?
No, I've not seen any geese. I've seen a couple ducks after we had cleared up to the wetland buffer in that one area. That is the only time I've seen ducks fly in there. Since it's grown back, I don't see ducks go into the wetlands at all anymore.
Okay. I've noted that on the trees that you have planted, that you are protecting them with fencing around them. I presume is that to prevent from deer rub?
Yeah, I did that specifically based on your suggestion. And so I tried to appease you and do that to show that I care.
Have you noticed the deer populations? Have increased obviously since the conversion, right? I mean,
I mean, I remember walking in my woods before clearing and I saw deer all the time. I can't confirm that the deer population has exploded based on me clearing a meadow or pasture. I definitely see deer around the property, but the quantity, I think when there's trees, they're pretty good at hiding from predators and people. So I think if anything, they're just more prevalent, not because there's more of them, they're just more easy to see.
Do you know why just the extent of the issues that you said that you had discussed with me, lead appellant, that about the tree damage? Can you recall what we were discussing in terms of the tree damage that we were experiencing, we being the appellants, on the neighboring parcel, and why it had become necessary in the early 2020s to protect the trees?
I don't recall that conversation. I recall seeing your website posting of deer damage. So I recall seeing it there. I'm sure that we must have had a conversation, which is why I put the wire around. I know that there was some deer, antler rubbing on some bark. I've had a tree or two that I found that had some deer rubbing. It did not kill the tree. It grew anyway. But I believe you've experienced some trees that have died from it.
Yeah, I'm not going to share those exhibits here, and those are in the record. They're around, A234, A235, 36, and so forth. There have been, yes, as you say, Mr. Edwards, we've actually experienced in the forest restoration project some significant deer rub damage starting in 2021, especially. Or, sorry, 2020, my error. Let's move on. Let's take a look at item B7A1. I'm going to move on to it. Let me get through this. You indicate that there are no possible contamination of the site in the past or present. In conversations you had had with the easement Servian owners, were you not aware of any contamination at that entryway at the edge of your property and within the easement related to just a whole lot of canisters of liquid or batteries, stuff?
I would object to the conversation regarding the area contained within the easement. It's not part of this project.
Okay, let me rephrase the question. So the issues that I was just discussing extend onto the applicant parcel at the edge where the easement reaches their parcel. And Mr. Edwards may have even encountered some of the sections of reinforced concrete and other things that have been dumped in that area through the years. Perhaps you haven't, if you haven't actually worked on it.
Yeah, like I said, it goes to the accuracy of the checklist. So overall, go ahead.
Okay. Did you not know of any potential hazards in the area? I mean, at the time, yeah, you were proposing to develop the easement too, but were you not aware of any of the hazards that are in that area?
At initial submission, no. Since initial submission, and after filling this form out, you had an excavator out and you were digging up the easement. And I noticed that you pulled out concrete blocks out of the ground. But I don't recall there being any health hazards or anything. And when I did the clearing on my property, walking around after it was cleared and everything was, you know, resurfaced, so to speak, by the excavation crew, I didn't see cement blocks or metal or anything on my side.
At what point were you made aware that your neighbors to the northwest have severe livestock allergies in their family?
I don't recall the day. I know you made claim on your site, your website, that you had told me in person at some point. I don't recall that, but I definitely read it on your website.
Skipping ahead again, are you familiar with the noise caused by a Harley-Davidson motorcycle?
I believe a neighbor on my east named Relic has a motorcycle, and he drives a motorcycle. They can be sometimes loud. I hear it.
Okay, this gets to.
I heard it before the clearing as well, and but.
Okay, got it. This gets to question B1 here, as you see in the middle of the page. Have you heard a group of 20 of them exit a Washington State ferry at the same time?
I'm sorry, repeat, please.
Have you heard a group of 20 of them exit a Washington State ferry at the same time?
I don't know if it was 20 or three, but I've heard multiple motorcycles that disembark from the ferry at times.
You hear that on your parcel?
Sure.
Okay. Are you familiar with the large truck traffic levels that come on and off the ferries?
Truck traffic is what you said?
Yeah, like semis and just vehicles.
I mean, I just hear vehicles. I can't see them from my parcel. I don't know which vehicles are entering and exiting the ferry system. When I've caught the ferry myself, I don't recall seeing semi-trucks. Maybe some, you know, moving vans. But yeah, I mean, the ferry is a known... I mean, it's been here a long time, right? Neighbors know that's part of the reason I actually enjoy this property is listening to the ferry foghorns. And I enjoy the sounds from the ferry. They've always been there. And I'm sure there's trucks and vans and cars and motorcycles and all kinds of vehicles in and out of there.
Your parcel is located uniquely between Sedgwick and Southworth, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of equal distance between them, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say roughly equal distance from the two. I know your property is closer to the Southworth Drive, which perhaps that's the reason you hear it more, is from off the road versus across the pasture.
So per item 87B1, which we're seeing, the first one under noise, you don't mention any of the ferry traffic or the ferries themselves or any of the noise that's coming from the highways. Did you not discern any of this before or after the clearing?
I think I might have interpreted that question as, is what I'm doing going to cause more noise? And I don't think that me clearing the pasture of the trees created more traffic at the ferry system or louder vehicles. So that's why my answer was as such.
Okay, understood. I'm not going to share videos here. A209 and A210 are noise-related exhibits. I am going to, in an effort to expedite this, I'm not going to share those at this time. By the way, on an ancillary note, have you ever complained about loud music coming from the homes on Level Lloyd?
I think that you brought that up to me before, whether I could hear the music coming from Relic, his garage. And I said, yes, I've heard it. And you asked if that bothers me. And I said, no. He plays a lot of island music, especially during Christmas time, which is, I kind of enjoy.
Does your farm plan reveal the types and quantities of livestock that will be installed on the property?
No, because we don't know what animals, if any, we plan to have as pets one day. So that is open based on what the future holds, when I don't know what it does. So, and as you know, my kids are 6 years older than when we started this project. So the idea of raising my kids with farm animals is every day a distant, possibility.
Do you consider goats to be a loud animal, incidentally?
They make noise. But are they constant noisemakers? I would say no.
We're going to talk through your answer to item B8A. This is under land and shoreline use. You're asked, what is the current use of the site and adjacent properties? You indicate there's one adjacent property that's not developed. The rest are single family homes. Is it not actually true that there are four undeveloped parcels without residences around yours and a fifth containing only a shed?
Boy, I mean, I'm trying to remember, think the immediate vicinity of my property. There's one that has a barn next to me that's 2.5 acres roughly, that we share a property line with along the southeast. They had a couple donkeys there for a while. They've since left and departed the property. Neil, it purchased that vacant land south of your property, and then your property is also vacant. And then up north, those are all homes that have residents in them, and as well to the northeast. So I guess that would be three that I'm aware of.
Okay. And there's another to yourself, or another two?
Yeah, I haven't explored down south much. I walk down in my corner once in a while, but it's heavily brushed and it's part of the wetland, so I don't ever walk back in that area. So I really don't know what's back there beyond my property corner, and really just the southeast corner. I've never actually visited my southwest corner.
Is your parcel the largest of any that it touches?
I believe it is.
Yeah. Would your parcel be the largest with agricultural operations in the core of Southworth, so the area in and around the ferry?
Yeah, I don't know every parcel around me. I know that, is my parcel 7.14 acres? Yes. But of which, how much is usable? I would say close to maybe five. But then you throw in buffers, maybe I have 4.5. My house is already developed, so maybe it limits me to 3.5. So a 3.5 agriculture operation, I'm estimating. I don't know for sure. I know Farmer Rosie is close by. That's a pretty well-known property in the Southworth, main hub here. I don't know the size of her acreage, but I imagine it's similar.
So one of the things that's, I'm sure you've heard from Mr. Heacock, is the concept of rural enjoyment. It's one of the phrases that gets bandied about and as applied to this permit. When that started getting discussed, did you make yourself familiar with Kitsap land use policies relating to that?
I don't remember going out and researching code and law. I know that with the easement and this permit, I've spoken with multiple law firms, But nothing, I mean, nothing really that specific. The conservation district, when working with them on our farm plan, they seem to, quote agricultural code from time to time and make sure that what we were doing fits within their rules and requirements for the farm plan, which it did. So, I mean, we live in a rural residential area that allows farm animals, and that's what we plan to do at the time.
Okay, also related to BAA, I'm not going to belabor the easement development, but at the time, we're getting to the accuracy of the checklist, of course, and at the time that was included, you do indicate on the checklist that no impact is expected on nearby home sites or undeveloped parcels. Were you accepting the easement in that case, that parcel?
Which section are we referencing so I could read what I wrote?
So 8BA, so it's what we're seeing right at the very top here.
Okay. What is the current use of the site and adjacent properties? Will the purpose affect current land uses or nearby adjacent parcels? If so, describe. Yeah, so impacts. Yeah, developing my property, I don't anticipate using my property for what really it's zoned for would be a negative impact to my neighbors.
Okay, but you indicated no impact was expected on nearby home sites or undeveloped parcels. So again, were you accepting the development of the easement? Were you not counting that?
I didn't consider that developing an easement we have legal rights to would be an impact. It's already an impact when we bought our properties. So it was something that unfortunately I had to go through court to decide that we have that easement, but the fact remained that we do. So developing something that we have legal right to do, I didn't think that was an impact. That was something that was really a possibility from the beginning. So no, I wouldn't consider that an impact even now.
Did you determine at the time that the loss of canopy on the property might have an effect on dry and hot summers on neighboring parcels?
Well, given the sun, rises in the east, sets in the west, by, noon, it's over the top of our properties, not coming from one side, angled. So, and then the heat of the day is what, roughly 2 to 4 o'clock. By then, the sun is directly over us with no shade coming from my property to benefit yours. And then the tail end of the day, it's setting in the west, so away from my property. And so no, could I acknowledge that cutting down trees and removing canopy can have a direct, impact as far as heat on the ground? Sure. I mean, I could walk in on a hot day and go walk under a tree and feel the difference between being direct sunlight and under shade. But I don't know that that would have a direct negative impact on your property. It would be a direct impact on my own, which I was okay removing those trees, obviously, because we did so.
Have you noted tree dieback and tree death along the exterior of your parcel since the clearing?
Actually, no. I know that we've seen pictures on your property of your claims. Which again, some of the pictures you shared today, like the sword fern along the western boundary. Again, I walked there yesterday. The sword ferns are doing great. There is no dieback. They've adjusted. A lot of the maples along that western edge have multiple new branches shooting out of them, growing towards the sun. I see multiple trees along the edge that didn't have sunlight that now do, that are flourishing because of it. Also, I'd like to just go back to your original question, your last question on, having a canopy. I could see that that would be beneficial for some people. I also know it's beneficial for others that I cleared, like our neighbor to the northeast, Leroy and Betty. They were actually happy that we cleared. They were in the process of clearing their land and building a house, and found, they wanted solar panels on their house for electricity, and they were told they can't. After we cleared, they had the people back out, said, "You have a great rating." And they were happy to have the sunlight. Same with Jim up to the northeast. He's even gone as far to ask if I would be willing to cut down some more trees along his property because he wants more sunlight for his gardening. So I think that sunlight can be beneficial, not only a negative. It's all perspective.
We've got extensive exhibits that I'm not going to go through here for expediency, showing dead and dying trees along the boundary between the boundary between the Forest Restoration Project and this parcel, as well as other parcels.
No doubt that initially there was a rebound that had to occur after some of the initial cutting. What I've witnessed is most of that has come back and are doing well, except I know you have some newly planted trees that didn't survive, but that could be soil, that could be how you planted them, how often you watered them. It could be in multiple things, not solely it's more sunlight, which plants obviously need to live.
Well, I mean, I'll address that quickly since you brought it up. In the Forest Restoration Project, the tree dieback along the edge of this action is significantly greater in the percentages than in the rest of the project. And that is despite watering the trees near the applicant's parcel even more than the others. And so we've experienced, and you know, the soils being similar, it's all the similar sandy loam. The conditioning is the same, but we've experienced far more significant dieback.
We have not experienced the same with the trees we planted. We actually haven't lost any in the same area.
So let's take I don't want to single out a whole bunch of these, but I do want to single out, you just mentioned that you haven't noticed any dieback. I am going to pull up A222. We did skip the eagle video you're seeing. So you may recognize that this is this the Keith property to your northwest?
Yes, it looks like it is.
Okay. Since the clearing, 4 cedars and 2 big leaf maples have died. There's been significant dieback, and I'm going to show one more from a different angle. This is A224.
Curious, what's the date on these photos? When were they taken? Was it fall or near fall?
So A222, this would have been October 1st.
Okay, so right at fall. And
we're gonna look. Yeah, no, this isn't just normal dieback on the big leaves.
They're deciduous trees that often will lose their leaves and turn brown this time of year.
Yes, we're gonna go beyond that here.
Okay.
So if we were to go out to the parcel right now, you'll note that the 4 cedars, 3 of them are dead, 1 of them is dying. The big leaf maple that you see in the middle of the photo here has died. These were from 2022. The impacts of the heat really hit this particular parcel hard.
Can I ask a clarifying question, Mr. Clemmison?
Yeah.
Do you have any proof that this was in any way caused by any activity on Mr. Edwards' property?
Well, this is what I'm going to ask Mr. Edwards about, is it gets right to my question. Were these trees dead and dying at the time of the clearing?
I do not remember them dead or dying even before I cleared and after I cleared. I never noticed them that they were dying. There are cedars in that area that again are thriving. They're growing into the sunlight and into the opening. And I haven't explored Debbie's property without her consent, of course. I haven't trespassed or walked through that area. So no, I don't believe that there's a direct correlation.
Okay. I'm going to show just one more photo on this because I do want to move on. And this is going to be A233. Obviously, this is a wintertime photo. So this is actually February of this year.
Okay.
Have you noticed just in the course of looking at your tree line on the southern end of the parcel, the conifer dieback from the top?
The one on the far left?
Just generally across the ring of the canopy around the edge of your parcel.
Not seeing conifer trees besides the one on the far left, which is on a neighbor's property at the donkeys, have any dieback on the top. And I honestly don't recall whether that started happening after we cleared. That's a very tall tree. It always, you know, received direct sunlight, had no canopy above it. So clearing under trees, I don't think would have an impact on that, but I'm not, you know, an expert.
Okay.
Obviously, my maples and some other deciduous trees that have no leaves during that time.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking you to put on the arborist's hat. We're just trying to determine what has happened. So moving on, I'm not going to address B8B. That has a 3.25 acres, which is likely erroneous amount of acreage that was cleared. On item B8B1, will the proposal affect or be affected by surrounding working farm or forest land operations, so forth? At what point did you become aware that there was a forest restoration project neighboring you?
When you created your website.
Okay. It did not come up in any discussion before that? In other words, you didn't know at this point?
No, I remember, I think, you know, after we had cleared, I remember having a discussion with you, and you mentioned that basically, yeah, bummer that you did this next to people that are, I forget what you called yourself, it was Green Thumbs or whatever. You had some term you called yourself, I don't want to say tree hugger or whatever. I'm not going to put names to it, but you made
it was tree hugger, actually.
I think it was, but I don't mean that in an offensive way. It's just recollection. But I do recall you mentioning that you love trees. And after that, we went online and saw what you posted, and we understood, you know, your desires and wishes, and that you have an affinity for trees, which is why we've tried to make multiple olive branches to have communication and work with you and invite you to county meetings and try to negotiate and invite you to my work and I really tried to make an effort, but didn't come to anything that was we could agree upon.
Okay, we might get to that later. Back to the checklist. I'm confused about your answer for B8C. Describe any structures on the site, none on the project site, but then you go on to describe home, garage, ADU, and shed. So in other words, didn't this clearing sort of envelop the entire your property? I mean, the trees directly next to the home were removed, correct?
Describe any structure on the site. So yeah, we had a home, we have a garage. It's not a legal ADU, but garage. And we also have a garden shed. So those are the three structures that were that exist today. Okay, there used to be a chicken house, but that's gone.
I was confused by none on the site, I guess.
Describe any structures.
None on the project site, I'm sorry.
None on the project site, comma, a home, garage. Is that not me listing what's on there? The project site includes those structures?
Okay. Wow. I'm not going to play with this point. It just seems kind of awkward. You indicate that no projects on the project. I understand
the wording might not be perfect, but I think what I'm doing there is listing that we have a home, a garage, and we have a shed. And those are what we have.
Okay, I'm not going to belabor that one any further. On item B8H, Has any part of the site been classified as critical area by the city or county? Again, you indicate 15 to 20%. Had your engineer not found 30% slopes on your parcel?
Don't know that I filled this out after the engineer. I think this was filled out prior to the engineer's
Okay,
work.
got it. Any reason why, the already delineated Category 4 wetlands were not included here?
I don't know that they were when I filled this form out.
On item B8I, how many people work or reside in the completed project? You say zero. So, in other words, when you're referring to the site or the project, you're not including your home site. Is that what you're indicating?
I presume so. Obviously, we're a family of six, so we all live here.
You state in item B10A that no structures will result from this action. You've been discussing this morning, I guess we're in the afternoon now, my apologies, that you were interchangeably considering the parking pad and a barn. Why was that not included at this juncture?
We were working with, I mean, that was our vision, is to one day be able to have a barn. It wasn't as part of the clearing. We're talking, possibly years in the future. When I filled this form out again, I don't believe that all of the engineering was completed. This plan has been modified over 6 years, at least 4.5 of those years. So it's been a work in progress through multiple, what I think, five submissions. So yeah, things have changed since this form was completed.
We're going to move on now to the aesthetics answers, and that's in this case you see them front and center, B10B and B10C. What views in the immediate vicinity would be altered or obstructed? And as you mentioned earlier, you talked about the solar capability for the Lewises to your northeast. Do you believe, generally speaking, that mature trees are mere obstructions?
Is this reference to, sorry, 810B and 810C?
Yeah, 810B in this case.
Okay, so what views in the immediate vicinity, okay, would be altered or obstructed? Immediately adjacent neighbors to north and east have obstructing trees removed. I don't believe trees are obstructions. I think that's somewhat of a silly statement, to be honest. I find trees to be beautiful as well. We have, acres of trees, and I enjoy walking within them and being around them. There's a connection with nature that I enjoy. So no,
Okay.
trees are not obstructions. They're not nuisances. They're beautiful, and I have a real affinity for them as well.
So, what view was revealed for your neighbors by the tree removal?
It took a forest to more like a pasture view, more
So,
rural.
not okay. So, what could your neighbors, let me phrase it differently. What could your neighbors see that they couldn't see before in terms of a view?
Some of the neighbors could see each other. I would say mainly your property can see the neighbors to my east, and they could see your property. But the neighbors on the east already saw one another, and the neighbors to the north already could see one another. So I think the only parcel that was somewhat opened up to was a relationship to your property and the parcels to the east, which there's three.
Your parcel exists at the crest of a hill, generally. Was your own view improved by the tree removal?
We didn't obtain a mountainous view or anything. I think that's also perspective. In my perspective, yeah, I enjoy looking out at the pastures. I enjoy seeing the grass grow and flow in the wind and the birds dipping down and eating bugs. And like, yeah, I think it's beautiful. But I re also can respect that other people might not find that beautiful. They enjoy the moss and the trees and the dark and the damp. It's like everyone likes different things. I love what we've done, and I look forward to enhancing it further as far as more landscape and multiple trees. Like I mentioned earlier, we have at least 30 more trees potted ready to go this fall. So we're excited to plant those.
Well, when it comes to planting trees, obviously what the concern is what's actually protected as part of the permit. We talk a lot in this about verbal, what Mr. Edwards, you want to do, can we discuss it verbally? But at some point, what we're discussing here is what's in this permit.
Mr. Zamer, can I ask a clarifying question here? Mr. Clemson, how much more time do you need for your interview questions for Mr. Edwards?
We're almost done with SEPA. I really would like to get this done by the end of the day. I mean, that would be, I think we'd all agree here, correct?
Okay. I guess we seem to be belaboring the point of what Mr. Edwards knew and when he knew it in terms of what was written down on this SEPA checklist. As I'm sure Mr. Heacock's going to testify on, this was not taken at face value, and there was extensive analysis and investigation that occurred after this. So I don't know how relevant these answers are in this proceeding.
Yeah, I think we are getting a little mired in some of the more minor details that don't really affect the impacts of the project, like debating, what he meant by were there structures on the property, that kind of thing doesn't really help the case. There's actually, Mr. Clemenson, a word that the courts have used for this kind of analysis. They call it fly specking, which means, you're just nitpicking the checklist without any substantive result, in the proceeding. So, Mr. Clemenson, I still see some value in, the major impacts and the fact that Mr. Heacock may, if you can prove he was given not enough information to evaluate a particular impact because of Mr. Edwards, that's pertinent. But beyond that, I think we, just try to avoid, falling into these details and things and just hit the major points if you could, because like I said, even the courts recognize this is if you go too far and kind of nitpicking the checklist, it's not a good use of time. It doesn't really serve any purpose. So
I appreciate that, Your Honor. I mean, the appellants obviously are trying to prove here that we've got two things we've got to do. We've got to show that the checklist is inaccurate. Then we also have to show that Mr. Heacock didn't compensate for that. We're just trying to be thorough at the first half of that.
Okay. No, I understood. Yeah. Just like I said, just hit the major points on this. And I think you've made your point really well at that point. So.
Okay. Have you noticed that multiple neighbors have installed solid fences along the property line since the conversion?
I know that you have built a small solid fence along your my northwest property line. Also, Greg moved in, and before even moving into his parcel, he immediately started building a fence that was a solid cedar fence, 6 feet tall. That was after the clearing had occurred, but he wanted privacy and his dogs in the back. And I read his complaint into the county about it also was to prevent a light glare into the back of his house. So I've seen two solid fences built, one partial, one full length of Greg's property.
Is the vehicle traffic on your personal Level Lloyd Lane now viewable from other properties where it had not been before?
Is traffic on Level Lloyd visible to other
properties? Yeah, and on your parcel generally, is it more viewable now than it had been before?
Yeah, I'm sure that having trees would provide some type of barrier from seeing the traffic on our property for other, as well as Level Lloyd.
Okay, the appellants have several privacy impacts and aesthetics impacts, A-159, A-160, and then A-161 and A-162, comparative before and after. We're not gonna go through those here. How often do you see the neighboring family to the northwest set up picnic areas and chairs in that hilltop area right at the entrance to your parcel?
I've never seen a picnic. I see watering once in a while. I see you taking pictures once in a while. But I don't see picnics, or especially right at the corner.
Have you noticed that to the west, the loss of the canopy has caused tree dieback to be exposed greater? In other words, when you're looking down there, you see dieback in trees.
I would object to this line of questioning. This is all concerning what impacts are after the fact. I believe what the determination here is what impacts Mr. Edwards knew at the time that he filled this out.
I mean, if you walked the property line, you would have been able to see what the aesthetic difference between the trees before and after were going to be once you exposed them, correct?
Yeah, I think that's pertinent. So overall, go ahead.
Yeah, please ask the question again.
Yeah, let me get back on up here. So when you cleared the parcel, did you note that on the neighboring parcels to your west that tree dieback that had occurred formerly in the center of the canopy, the combined canopy, was now exposed for folks to see? In other words, let me rephrase this. When you look out your front door and look across at the trees to your west, have you noticed that the aesthetics of those trees, I mean, a lot of them don't have lower limbs, you know, they're pretty much died back because they had grown up in a canopy.
Mm-hmm. When we cleared, I could see that the trees were as you described, that a lot of them were, they grew up through a canopy, so they didn't have, so to call it dieback from more sunlight, I would disagree. However, the trees did grow towards sunlight, and there was none below because the canopy, so you're right, there wasn't a lot of limbs and foliage down below on the bottom half or bottom two-thirds of the tree, some of them. There's many others, like the maples specifically, have multiple new branches growing out towards my pasture, open up area, growing towards the sunlight. So I haven't seen tree dieback. I saw a momentary dieback with sword ferns in that general area based on some photos you posted on your website. I went and looked, and I see the dieback. But again, since then, as of yesterday, when I was walking out there, it's the sword ferns survived. They're alive and they're thriving and they're doing great.
You mentioned that you see the neighbors in that area watering.
Yeah, there's been a few times where you guys have your hose and you're watering some of the plants you recently planted inside the easement.
Do we water the ferns too?
That I don't know. I haven't seen you water the ferns. I've only seen you once in a while water within the easement.
One last question on this before we move on. Have you noted that five neighboring properties to the east, north, and west have planted rows of conifers since 2019 on their side of the boundaries?
I have not noticed that. I'm not denying it. I don't know. I've never, as you said, to the north and the northeast?
East, north, and west.
Well, definitely to the your property, east. That must be Ron, with the donkeys, who since passed. I did see him plant a few trees in that area. Other than that, the northeast or east, I believe Relic and Lanai already had a row of trees that they had planted prior to me, clearing, but I don't remember the exact timeline those were planted. They might have pre-existed before I bought my house.
Okay. On item B10C, the last one in aesthetics, you indicate no measures to reduce or control aesthetic impacts.
Those are measures to reduce.
What was your thought on that?
Site plan is considered. He's saying I didn't provide any ideas on how to reduce or control. I didn't believe that there would be aesthetic impacts. This has, again, been a learning process, and some of the aesthetics other people, have their perspectives and what they find to be beautiful and whatnot. I didn't anticipate there being this, you know, this opinion out there. I really didn't.
Okay. So moving on to light, we want to get through these. You indicated in item B11A, no new lighting is proposed, of course. You've mentioned, of course, the headlight issue. We're going to get to that. You said that the light from the view from one parcel to the next, you know, the homes can now view each other. The parcels can now view each other. Does that include the light that goes across your property?
Of course. At nighttime, lights are on. Light travels over the pasture.
Okay. I'm going to pull up 1A167. Have you noted the lights from the ferry terminal?
I have not. I'm sure there's, I mean, not before and after. I'm sure just like Seattle, you know, illuminates a big city like that, or a ferry terminal emits light that is, you know, visible from long distances at nighttime. But I haven't noticed a major difference in what I could see.
Can I ask a clarifying question here? Where's this picture taken from? I can't really.
I was going to clarify. My apologies. So this is taken from the west, looking east towards the ferry terminal, taken in 2023, obviously, wintertime. So it's just what I wanted to ask Mr. Edwards is if he had ever noticed it, that the ambient light from the ferry terminal.
I see.
Crossing the property.
Along with, Clemson, of course, you said taken from the west. I mean, where in relation to the property on the Edwards property, or what, you know, where in relation to the Edwards property?
To the northwest of the Edwards property. So okay. So in other words, if you were to look straight through the Lewis home here, which is to the left, you'd be looking at the ferry terminal.
Okay. Thank you.
And yeah, this is
from your property point. Then, Mr. Clemson?
The boundary of the property that I own.
I see. Okay. And I guess point of clarification, I don't know when I should bring this up, so I'll ask it and I'll let the examiner rule on it. Do you have a house or other structure there that you're looking at here, or what, I guess, what's this view coming from? Is it just the corner of your property as close as you could get to the Edwards?
This is the corner of the property.
Okay.
And, you know, one thing to keep in mind about Southworth, the folks in Southworth have actually, especially in Southworth Drive, have turned down the opportunity to put in streetlights. And Mr. Edwards might actually have benefited from this, as my family might have. There was discussion potentially of a streetlight going in at the top, Mr. Edwards, of the hill where you exit the easement. And that's a kind of a dangerous hill. And we thought it might be best to put a streetlight out there, for instance. But we consulted with all the neighbors and they protested. And what we commonly heard throughout the neighborhood was the folks value the darkness, and that the ferry terminal is kind of inhibits in and of itself the stargazing opportunities and the darkness that people value in that neighborhood.
Okay. Understood. I guess just as a general point of order, Mr. Examiner, I have some questions about Mr. Clemenson's property itself. I don't think now is the proper time to cross and examine him on it, but I just kind of wanted to note that for the record and say that I have some questions, so I'd be happy to bring them up after he's done with Mr. Edwards' testimony.
Yeah, let's wait until then if that's sure. Okay with you. That sounds good.
Yeah, all right, that's fine.
Okay. That picture you just showed, how large have you measured the distance of that opening? Because you know the easement is pretty, you know, full of trees and shrubs. There's 20 feet wide. But this is the one area that you have this view directly from where I enter off the easement into the northwest corner. So you're showing the absolute worst possible picture, where the majority of your property, you don't have this view.
Well, I mean, we can get into debates later about how SEPA considers the condition of neighboring parcels and so forth. But in this case, I think what the hearing examiner may have already seen, and Mr. Durland and the county will have well, is that the northwest corner is a point of focused impacts. That's what we were discussing earlier when it came to dust and wind and so forth. And the issue we face right here is that the home site, the front door of the house, in the home that's about to be built there, is literally right behind me as I'm taking that photo. And so the focused impacts over the entry point become an issue. To answer the question.
Understood. So is this an existing project that you have?
Yeah, no, it's a permit that's been
It's been issued.
it's been issued.
Okay.
Yeah,
Thank
and
you.
quite frankly, we are this may came up, but we are actually waiting to know if we need to move the house further north on the parcel, depending on the outcome of this SDAP.
Was that house plan approval and permit approval created and approved after we cleared?
It was, yeah, 2021 at that point.
You're aware of the opening, yet decided to build your house in that location.
We were not fully aware of the impacts yet.
But you're aware, okay, you're aware that it was cleared and you could see the
Yeah.
neighbors.
We, you know, it, I mean, these impacts, let's talk about it. I mean, these impacts compound year after year after year.
If I could, also, aren't you anticipating installing a large light right where you're standing in this photo?
All right. I think that right now it's still Mr. Clemenson's
Yeah.
time for questioning. Mr.
Apologies.
Derlin had, yeah, well, Mr. Derlin had requested to question him after he's done, and I
Yeah.
think
So,
we have.
and I'm happy to bring that all up after.
Yeah. Of course,
Yeah.
Mr. Derlin and
Understood.
Mr. Edwards, you can confer and get all those questions together. I just don't want to lose control where
Yeah.
everyone's questioning
Of course.
everybody else, you know, through the hearing. That gets a little hard
It's
to manage.
I understand it's a little weird since I'm pro se. I
Right.
understand
Yeah. That
this is a bit
makes it a little
awkward.
easier.
I appreciate
Yeah,
that.
we're doing pretty good so far.
We're doing all
Okay,
right.
go ahead.
Okay, so let's go back to the checklist here. For items 811B, 811C, 811D, you indicate no proposed measures to control or reduce light. Could there be any light or glare? What off-site sources of light may affect the proposal? I think we've touched upon all of those already. A66 is a diagram showing the headlight impacts that were possible from this, and I'm not going to show it here. The examiner and the parties can view that separately because I don't believe I have a question at this point for Mr. Edwards related to that. We already talked about Has your parcel historically had a dirt road entrance and a vehicle gate to Sedgwick Road via the southeast corner of your property?
There is a utility easement along the north, I'm sorry, southeast corner of my property. You do access it off of Sedgwick Road. My understanding is it's not for ingress or egress.
Have you ever learned that your parcel's previous owners periodically use that direct access?
I have never used it personally, and no, I was not aware that they did. There's a large metal cable going across that entrance. I've never removed it, or I don't even know if I can.
It's kind of tipping over. The posts are tipping over at this point, aren't they?
Not that I've seen.
The last time I was there, it looked like the posts were coming over.
Right.
This was not declared in item B14A, which is why the question was asked, is what the accesses were. To the best of my knowledge, no, there is no right of way that was ever applied for there. It was just built when the home was built and then abandoned.
For utilities, and so the utility companies can access the electrical box in that area. It's also within a wetland buffer. So to drive and construct a road would not be appropriate, I don't think, for environmental purposes.
I'm going to, that's a whole other topic I'm not going to go into, obviously, as we have discussed that at length before. On item B14F, you indicate there would be no traffic impacts to occur. This despite the construction of a parking pad that would be accessed from a neighboring parcel at the time. And of course, the traffic in and out of the parcel has never been agricultural in nature prior. Was any of that a consideration when you filled out this answer?
I would say there's been no impact to more traffic based on clearing the property up to this point. Our family has grown here, one extra child, so but she's not driving yet. Our eldest son start driving, but those are normal things unrelated to clearing. So no, I don't believe there's extra traffic. Agricultural operations is not our goal. A family farm for pets was our goal. So we're not inviting the public to purchase goods from our property, so there's no impact from the neighborhood.
I know that has been a concern of the community, accessory agricultural use. I'm going to skip ahead here. So let's just wrap up the SEPA questions. We're getting down near the end here. Some of the answers in the utility section were incorrect and so forth, but I'm not going to belabor that. I think the point has been made. In retrospect, Mr. Edwards, are you confident in the answers you provided to the county in this document?
Yeah, I'm confident based on what information I had at the time I filled that out roughly 5, 6 years ago. At the time, I believe I filled it out to the best of my knowledge. Have I learned things since then? Sure. Is there some sentence structuring that could be revised to be more clear? Sure. But I'm satisfied with what I provided at the time. If I was to recreate it, it might be slightly different.
Okay. You did make the update 1 year later to change that cubic yardage issue on one question, because obviously you weren't bringing in 2,000 yards of fill. When you made that correction, you didn't opt to change any of the other answers. Was that because nothing had changed on your parcel between 2020 and 2021?
I don't recall why I had to update that or if it was a requested condition on a resubmittal. I brief, I vaguely remember updating it, but I don't remember why I was required to or if I was required to. But that's the one correction I made at the time. There was no intent behind it. I think I was requested to update that one item, so I did.
Okay. That concludes the SEPA portion of this. Does anybody need a break, or can we just
Yeah,
launch
no,
into it?
this was exactly what I was going to mention.
That's
We're at a
a
good
good
point.
stopping point.
Yeah, let me just a couple comments before we get to that point, Mr. Clemson. I really appreciate your efforts in often just referencing documents, not bringing them up, and that kind of stuff. That does save us a lot of time. I think to help facilitate doing that for you, the way I'm going to set up the closing is I think we do it in writing. You get usually the way I have the closing done is I have, in this particular case, it would be like city, then the applicant next, then you get the final word there. But I think in this case, because there's so many exhibits and so much information that I think the other parties need an opportunity to see how you organize all these exhibits and how you want to make your point. So the way I'm going to do it is have you make the first brief, then the applicant and county can respond, and then you get a reply at the end to kind of respond to their comments. This is the way we set up, and so that makes it even easier for you just to, instead of bringing up the exhibit, you know that in your closing brief you can reference it. Just one word of caution, though, which runs a little counter to this, is be real clear when you reference these exhibits what you're going to be using them for. Otherwise, when we get to the briefs, another party will say, "Well, we didn't know the exhibit was going to be used for this purpose, and if we'd known, we would have questioned Mr. Edwards about it," or something like that. So, and then I have to, if the equities require, kind of discount the value of that exhibit. So, as long as you're real clear about what you're using an exhibit for when you refer to it, you can avoid that from happening. So, but I think that process. I mean, do the parties have any objection over that kind of closing briefing?
No objection.
Okay.
No
In this
objection.
order?
Thank you.
Okay. All
No,
right. Sounds
and as a
good.
matter of fact, Your Honor, that was actually the format that we were going to request, because we believe that's probably best in this case.
Yeah, I
So we
think in this
appreciate it.
case with the 300 exhibits, that's a good idea. So let's take our break till 4:15. We'll see you at 4:15.